Hi, this is the Acquire Podcast from the Audphonic Podcast Network, and I'm your host, Jenny Wright. I'm a list build and lead generation strategist, as well as fractional CMO. And in this podcast, I always try and dive deep into the world of list building and online events, and I try and empower and help entrepreneurs just like you and marketers with the knowledge and strategies to master these essential business growth tactics. And before I get started, I am going to apologize. I currently have bronchitis. And instead of missing this show and not recording, I'm going to just muddle my way through. So if I sound a little different, it's not a sound effect. You know why. So let's jump in really to big topics that I'm really excited to talk about. And one of them is about green marketing and how that actually works in the digital space versus if you had like an actual product where you could use, say, recycled plastic and things. And the other one is Chrome is finally going to disappear these third-party cookies. This is a decision obviously by Google. All the other browsers got rid of third-party cookies years ago. And so I just wanna have a quick conversation about how that's gonna impact your marketing, if at all. And it's just a reminder as to like how we need to look at permission-based marketing a little bit differently. So let's talk about the third-party cookies first, and then I want to get into the green marketing side. So third-party cookies, you probably aren't using them directly, but indirectly you've used them before. So if you've ever run a paid ad or anything that has used a third-party service to track any kind of cookies before, you definitely have used that. Now, when GDPR came on board a couple of years ago, that meant you actually had to ask permission for cookies, and some of those were third-party cookies. Now, most people use a first-party cookie, and that is on your website for, say, like Google Analytics or SEMrush, things like that. And everybody should have a cookie notice on their website, and if you don't, please do so. And you should be looking at ways to make sure that you let everybody know that you are using cookies if you are. But this third-party cookie piece is really kind of interesting and very important. Mostly Meta used third-party cookies or uses third-party cookies. And Chrome, obviously built by Google, was supposed to get rid of them in 2022. But it didn't give developers enough time, apparently, to be able to figure out a workaround in some way, shape, or form. So they extended that deadline to 2024. And beginning this month, like beginning of April 2024, they've started to now cut these back. And by the end of 2024, they will have completely eliminated these third-party cookies. So it's really, really kind of interesting if you're into sort of the tech side of things. And so they really did extend this timeline to try and help people, which I thought was kind of interesting considering Safari and Firefox stopped using these things a long time ago. But it does impact B2B marketing the most. Chrome has the largest browser market share globally with, I think, 63.47% as of August of 2023. That's a lot. So what do we have to do in the meantime? So it just pivots a little bit on your permission-based marketing. So looking at things like web push notifications, you have to ask people's consent for sharing other people's information. They can choose to allow or block your request. That's a really great first step in permission-based marketing. Look at chatbot marketing. So if you're using a chatbot to initiate communication and then you ask leads if you can message them, you actually should be getting that permission. And then if you're using any sort of SMS and email marketing, then you're absolutely going to ask permission for contact. So one of my clients just ran a series of webinars and they wanted to SMS, they wanted to text message the people who registered for the webinar, but they didn't ask direct permission. And so we couldn't. And that person was like, well, why can't we? And there's a whole big of a legality thing, because if you send a message and the person says, hey, look, I didn't authorize you to do this, you're in the wrong. You don't want to do that. So asking those people to give you their information and share it and give you permission to contact by that method is incredibly important. So a couple of best practices just for you to consider to really just excel in this sort of like consent-based marketing world is making it super easy for people to opt in, but also to opt out. For some reason, I have gotten on a bunch of email lists where people are constantly mailing my main email address and saying, hey, do you want me to build your website? Hey, do you want to do this? Hey, do you want to do that? And I cannot opt out of these emails because they're not giving me a way to do it. And a lot of them will say at the bottom, hey, if you don't want to get these anymore, just hit reply. I'm not hitting reply. Luckily, I can hit, you know, block sender and things like that. But they're actually breaking the rules. And I'm sure you would never do that. So making it easy for users to opt in and opt out, massively important. And then letting users know what type of information you intend to send to them. So if somebody opts in for webinar A, it does not mean that you can then market them for webinar B or product X. You have to say in some sort of a footer, privacy statement, somewhere, terms and conditions, whatever it is, to say like, hey, by opting into this email list to receive communications about this webinar, you're also agreeing to receive future communications from Jenny Wright. And I always do that. It's always in the footer and also in my privacy policy as well. So, and I always have an unsubscribe button. I actually have two in my emails, usually at the tippity top, and then one definitely at the bottom. So I've got to make sure that people have an easy opt-in and an easy opt-out. Obviously, you know, what kind of information I'm going to send them, which we just talked about. And then I'm going to let people know, and you should too, how often I'm going to contact them. Because if you have, you know, if somebody signs up for your email list and you're on the whole Seinfeld sequence, daily email kind of thing, they might not be prepared for that. So one of your first emails, and this is part of automations that I love, is sending an automated email that says, hey, this is who I am. This is what I'm going to do. This is what you should expect from me. And this is how often I'm going to contact you. And I always try and set that up so people just have an expectation of what they're going to get. And then make sure you give people the freedom to manage their preferences, such as which topics they can subscribe to or unsubscribe to, and creating incentives for users to give you their data, like rewarding people who share official work emails for a free product and so on. So on the managing your preferences, it's a really great idea that if you're going to email people about a sales, you know, push or a launch, some of those emails at the bottom, you can easily say, hey, look, if you don't want to hear anything about this sales launch, but you want to stay on my list, click here. And I do that often. And then I have a success page that says, hey, we won't talk, you know, we're not going to send you any more emails about XYZ, but you'll receive regular information from our newsletter or something like that. So all in all, this just means that you need to refine your data strategy, or it should remind you to refine your data strategy and look at how you're accessing or utilizing your customer data in things like your digital advertising campaigns and so on. So a successful B2B marketer or B2B CEO or founder is going to really look at their data and how the data that they collect is being used and personalized in email marketing campaigns. So as you're saying goodbye to these three-party cookies, if they haven't affected you, great. But if they have, it's time to review your data strategy. And you're not going to be able to buy any third-party data from any marketing databases going forward after basically the end of 2024. And this new reality should make you think about what you should do and just kind of be a little bit of a call to action for you in terms of how you need to approach your digital marketing and the way that you look at taking data, basically. So there's not much more I want to talk about that because it's, you know, I don't want to get too much in the weeds about it, but I did want to bring it to your attention so you have something to think about as you're looking at your marketing going forward. And this is sort of one of those holes in the boat that I love to plug because a lot of people forget these little pieces. And I'm constantly finding landing pages where we don't have a link to a privacy policy or terms and conditions at the bottom, which is completely necessary. Even if you're not running ads, you absolutely have to have it because people have to have an expectation of how you're using their information. So now let's shift and talk about green marketing. And you've seen green marketing. You've also seen some white, you know, some not so great green marketing where people actually fake it. And we're going to talk about that too. But how does this relate to digital marketing? Because it's not like you can put a sticker on your tumbler bottle and say it was 100% recycled plastic because you're probably not selling a tumbler bottle. But what can you do to actually be part of the green marketing movement and show people that you care about the environment, show people that you are committed to sustainability and making sure that you are aware of the environmental impact that your business has? And if you have a digital business, Just because you run everything off of Zoom and you have your courses on Kajabi, or you have a ThriveCard account, you are still having an environmental impact by the sole thing of using energy. So everything that we do does actually use energy, and I'm going to get into that a little bit. So consumers, your clients and your customers are increasingly gravitating towards brands that are going to prioritize the planet, prioritize some green initiatives. And this shift is still in its early stages for digital marketing, not so much for brick and mortar businesses, but it's definitely big and starting to grow in the digital marketing space. So creating or adhering to eco-conscious strategies, I think, is something that people are really going to appreciate. And then there's going to be an expectation of it. And you should probably look at getting on board early. It's something that I'm looking into deeply, which is why I wanted to talk to you about it. So because everything that we're doing is having such a massive impact, and whether or not you're on the side of, you believe in climate change or not, science is real. So I'll just put that out there. And we are having an effect. And our digital marketing ecosystem is a significant consumer of energy. And energy isn't free, it doesn't grow on trees. So primarily this is coming from places like data centers and digital devices, network infrastructures, anything that supports any kind of online activity is a huge draw on the power grid. And even though our practices are both mainly email campaigns and social media, content creation, all of these virtual things have to rely on some physical server, some physical thing that consumes electricity 24/7. So think of those huge data farms that Google has, that Apple has, these huge data farms all over the world that just have servers sitting in an air-conditioned environment and they're running all the time. These servers need power. They generate a ton of heat, which needs to be displaced. They need a ton of energy to cool them off. And they need to maintain optimal temperatures. I actually worked for a company for well over a decade, and we had a server room because all of our machines were running off of these huge, servers. And so we had a server room, and that room was the room that honestly you went into if you wanted to cool off. And you had to have permission to go into that room. You actually had to have a code to get into that room. But a lot of people would kind of sneak in there and cool down because it was constantly air conditioned. So think about that. And not everybody thinks about that. You don't actually think about these data farms that have to be maintained and so on. And I know this might seem kind of like, I don't know if this seems kind of redundant or banal to you, but there's a real importance behind it. And people are actually getting on board with putting their money with companies that are actually thinking about these pieces for the environment. So taking a look and assessing your environmental footprint with your digital marketing activities, I think is just really going to be something that people are going to pay more attention to. It's critical. You can look at things like digital hosting, and we're going to get into a little bit more of this in a bit, but looking at the companies that host your website that are reliant more on green energy is a really great thing to look at. I know that some of them run only on solar power or only on wind power. That's a really cool way to sort of offset the carbon footprint that running these server farms does. And so that's really kind of cool. I think it's really, really interesting. So if you didn't think of it before, now you know that digital marketing really contributes to carbon emissions, and with all these electronic devices constantly running, right? So every online activity that you perform, from sending an email to streaming a video, it involves data being processed and stored in these data centers, and they consume so much energy, like I said. And as we know that a lot of our electricity, at least in North America, is generated from fossil fuels, it leads to emissions of greenhouse gases, it produces the disposal of digital devices. Think of that for a second. I used to work for a company that used to produce rare earth metals from mines in northern Quebec, Canada. And one of the, this metal is called niobium. And it's used in the production of cell phones. And it's a rare earth metal. It takes a ton of money to mine like 1 ounce of this rare earth metal. So all of the, and I know a lot of these companies recycle, which is fantastic. Apple, I think, is trying to recycle 100% of their rare earth metals. I think they're getting there, which is great. And I know other companies are doing the same. But these digital devices and smartphones and computers, they all contribute in this way to creating of carbon emissions, right? And digital marketing strategies are incredibly data intensive. They require more and more computational energy and power and storage. And our sector, like our digital sector, our digital online businesses are actually continuing to grow our carbon footprint other than the other way around. And we need to look at ways of reducing it. So who's doing what and what can you do? Take a look at switching to companies that offer alternatives to how they're actually drawing power, or if they give back, or if they offset. So taking a look at green hosting companies, which I mentioned before, that derive power from wind or solar. Take a look at your website. You can actually reduce your carbon footprint by actually optimizing your website. Didn't know this until I researched it because I started getting into this recently, and I'm really looking at this as a way to support not only myself, but as my fractional CMO work, I'm also going to be looking at the companies that I work with to make sure that they're looking at these things, right? So one of the companies that I was working with as a CMO, their website was incredibly bloated and it had a ton of high quality images and high quality videos and the load time was really low. That contributes to the carbon footprint. So you want to compress, you want to optimize, you want to reduce file sizes without sacrificing quality. And you can do that. You can do a lot of like the lawless compression now so that you're not losing the quality and it doesn't look like you're staring at a bitmap. And as you might be able to tell, my voice is getting a little off, but I will continue to keep going. We've got a bit more to go. So take a look at, you know, the software platforms, look at responsive design, and you want to make sure that the design for your website is responsive automatically, because you want to be able to size up and size down without having to need a different screen size or minimizing the data transfer and processing, which means you don't have to have two different websites created, one for your desktop and one for your mobile. Take a look at eco-friendly digital marketing sort of toolkits and stacks. I love my tech stack. I use, I use ClickFunnels, I use Go High Level, I use ActiveCampaign, Canva, full Adobe Suite, all these types of things for my tech stack. But I want to look at making sure that I'm putting focus towards those eco-friendly brands. And so now I'm actually searching to see which ones are. Funny enough, just like it was when, you know, back in the couple decades ago, it was hard to find anybody who was recycling anything or offering 100%, you know, recycled grocery bags and so on. We're still at that stage in the digital marketing space, so we're not seeing a ton of providers, but you can find them if you look for them. So you want to look for companies that are focused on reducing carbon emissions, energy consumption, that they're trying to reduce their digital waste by using eco-friendly tools or recycling, and they're using different methods to create, maybe communicate, and make sure they're driving value to their customers in a different way. Next, one of the big things that you can look at, and I love this, is lazy load. So you may have heard of that. So lazy loading is on your website again, and this is where your images and your videos only load as needed, meaning they only become seen on scroll. And so if it's, you know, if you only scroll for the first part of the page, you're not going to see the other two thirds until you scroll. This is going to save a ton of time. It actually saves a ton of energy too. And so that means it significantly cuts down on the data that's needed to actually run your website. Pretty cool technique, actually. And I actually am adopting this into my website. I love using it on clients' websites, especially on mobile, because not everybody has, 4K or 5K for their digital plans. And so it makes it actually a lot quicker for people to be able to view the website. It also takes into consideration people who don't have a lot of bandwidth. If you think about it, if you're in Canada and you go up north to cottage country and where there's like a, not so great cell signal sometimes, and you want to open a big website, it has to load everything and it takes forever. If you have lazy load, that means that people in rural areas that don't have access to a great signal will still be able to see your website and only see the stuff they need to because they're not scrolling the whole thing. So you're going to get a faster load. So that's actually really, really good. And it has a little bit more than just, you know, being an eco-friendly thing. It has the premise of actually helping people out who may not have access to high bandwidth. And then take a look also at the ways that you can sort of give back or be part of the movement. So what can you add to the conversation in terms of, you know, sharing on your social media that you're looking at eco-conscious options, that you're choosing to lazy load or you're choosing to compress, and sharing that on social media so people know that this is a thing and these are options that they can do. I love that. I'm actually talking about doing that myself, and I'm writing an article about it, which I'm going to be trying to post on LinkedIn in the short future, the near future, I should say. So I think that's a really good way. But beware, because there's always this greenwashing. You know, there's brands that rush to be eco-aligned. There's brands that fake being eco-aligned. They say they're more eco-friendly. They say they're doing all the good things. But there's a real risk of people sort of misleading you, making misleading claims, saying they're doing one thing and actually doing another, just to claim that environmental benefit, just to get some clout. And I hate that. But I'm telling you that if you do that, people will find out. And you're smart. I know that you're going to see right through this kind of stuff with other brands, so I'm sure you're going to see it from people. But if you're thinking of doing something like that, just don't. It's not worth it. So I think this sort of like green marketing idea has legs, and I'm looking at ways to actually put it into summits. One of the things that I'm looking at is with sponsorships and sort of looking at having sponsors for summits that are going to add to the conversation and add more to, you know, the side of doing better. I think, you know, and I'll be honest, this is not something I thought of for, and I've been in this business for like over a decade. It's not something I thought of. I have done the charitable side of things. I always do a charitable contribution to the charities of my choice. But those have always been like children's hospital or cancer research or Alzheimer's. I hadn't been looking at the eco side of things, which makes me feel really, really bad. That's kind of bad of me. I mean, in my own personal life, we recycle, we do all those things. But why didn't I do it in this business? So I'm taking pause. I'm reflecting on that. I'm wishing I had done stuff like this earlier. However, I also know that some of the stuff wasn't available earlier. Like, we just didn't have some of these options. I mean, lazy loading has been around for a bit, but it's not something I even really knew about. You know, having an eco-friendly tech stack, not something I even thought of. Compressing and optimizing, yeah, I have always done that, but it's always been to the detriment of the images or the banners or the videos, and that really sucked because I hate anything that's pixelated. I love crispness on anything I built, so I've always hated doing that, but now we have, you know, ways of getting around that technology. You know, there's technology, I should say, that's built to help us get around this sort of loss of, you know, pixels and so on. So there's a lot going on out there that can be really helpful for us. And we're getting to the point of having a lot less excuses to be able to be part of these kinds of things. So something I wanted to bring up and have you think about. I know this is one of the shorter episodes, but honestly, I'm sounding more like a frog, and I'm sure you don't want to hear that. So I'm going to go and rest up my voice and hope that I get better soon. But thanks for listening to this episode. I hope you found it useful and enjoyable. I appreciate you listening to the Acquire podcast. If you found it helpful or useful, please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave me a review. Take pity on my voice today. Maybe 5 stars would be cool. And I appreciate you being part of my community. And I would consider, or, you know, ask you to consider following me on social media, drop me a line, let me know what you think of the podcast or what topics you'd like me to cover. And what's really, really cool is this podcast is reaching more and more people. I was looking at the stats, and the amount of countries that Acquire is getting to is astounding. And the numbers every month are just growing, and I'm so grateful. So if you know anybody that could use this podcast, please forward it to them. I've got so much good stuff coming, great guests, and more solos where I don't sound like a frog, and I don't have bronchitis, but there's really good stuff coming, and I hope that you'll enjoy it. Make sure you go over to jennywright.com, check out the free resources and lead magnets that I have there for you to download. And if there's something there that you'd like to work with me, like if there's something going on in your business that you'd like my support or some marketing strategy or even fractional CMO work, let me know. I'd love to talk to you about it, and you can find me and get in touch with me at the website. Thanks so much, and I really appreciate it. And as always, the Acquire Podcast is brought to you by the Audphonic Podcast Network. Have a great night. Take care.